Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the MPOC Charter Review call on Tuesday, 1st of August 2017 at 1500 UTC. On the call today, we have John Carr, Consulate Ileleji, Raul Plomer, Gangaha Pandey, Remy Mweke, Olivia Kwame, and from staff, we have Benedetta Rossi and myself, Mara Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And I also remind everyone to please mute your microphones so we don't get interference. Thank you very much, and over to you, Joan.
Great. Thank you, Miriam, and welcome, everyone. I was just sitting here listening to Miriam and thinking how wonderful it is that we actually have almost every part of the world represented on this call. I mean, even though technology gives us a bit of issues, we're still connected, so we always have to be aware of that and be thankful. Anyway, today the call is about the charter, but and timelines around the crop program. So we're going to spend a few minutes, and Benedetta has joined us to talk to us about the crop program for a little bit, and that was what everybody requested. So. Welcome, Benedetta, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Joan. This is Benedetta speaking for the transcript. Thank you very much for asking me to join today's call. I'm very happy to be here and be able to provide some information on the crop program. I'm not sure how you'd like to do this. I just sent some slides that Miriam kindly uploaded for me, which sort of go over all the basics for the crop program. I'm not sure how familiar you all are with the program. So I thought, you know, as a backup, I had all the information for you to visualize. Is this something you'd like to just ask me questions, or would you like me to sort of go through the program and take questions as they come up?
I'll speak. I think if you could just go over it, it will be really great so that everybody's on the same page, and then we can ask questions for clarification if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's perfect for me. I'll just change slide then. Okay, so in this slide you see the sort of the purpose of the crop program. So the aim. So I don't know how familiar you are with this, but we've been doing this for quite some time. I think we're on the fourth fiscal year, if I'm not mistaken, where we've been working on crop. And the only difference in this fiscal year is that we actually managed to go past the pilot phase of the program, and it's now become a core resource that gets managed through the policy development support team that both Miriam and I are on. And the reason why it was initially developed as a pilot program was to help build local and or regional awareness and recruitment of new community members, effectively engaging with current members or reactivating previously engaged ICANN community members, and then more broadly just communicating ICANN's mission and objectives to new audiences. So that's sort of in a nutshell what the purpose of the development of this program was. In terms of allocations, on this slide you can see just for FY18. The reason why it says FY18 is that we've since we've been working on it as a pilot program, we've been testing various options throughout the various fiscal years. But this is what we're doing for this fiscal year moving forward. See, there's a slight difference between at-large and the GNSO. So obviously for the purpose of this call, I'll just focus on the GNSO and what participating communities within the GNSO, so including the NPOC, what you're allocated through CROP are up to five regional trip allocations, and that includes 3 nights and 4 days maximum. And if applicable, this is something that we didn't previously have as part of the standard of the program. You have the option of taking one out-of-region trip allocation. Obviously, that needs to be supported by your outreach strategic plan, and you have to have the ICANN regional VP concurring the need for this out-of-region trip. since the purpose of CROP is really to focus on regional work. But what we've noticed basically is that in a lot of cases, obviously, if you're trying to conduct outreach, you're trying to target areas where you don't have members. So it's very difficult to find someone from that region to attend a meeting or something to find new members. So if you don't have any members, it does make sense, obviously, to have somebody, an existing member, travel to a region that isn't their own to conduct outreach. So that's sort of the brainstorm whereby we manage to have and also find the budget flexibility to manage one out of region allocation. That could also be the case, for example, if you do have one member already from a specific region, but it's only one member, maybe it's a new member. You won't necessarily want, you won't find it as useful, for instance, to have a new member conducting outreach, but you might want someone who's more experimented in ICANN and in the NPOC going to a region where you don't have a lot of members. So those are the situations, for example, where we've been asked in previous fiscal years to have the flexibility of having an out-of-region trip. In previous cases, we've tried to be flexible wherever possible whilst still trying to keep fairness across the board. That's obviously very important for this program, and we've granted some exceptions when it was really important. But at least this way, you won't have to ask for an exception. It's just part of the standard. You may have one out of region trip, which hopefully will be useful for you. And part of the trip allocations includes your funded airfare in economy class. Your hotel will be covered and per diem, and the maximum amount is for 3 nights and 4 days. And as usual for ICANN travel, the travel will be booked through ICANN's constituents travel team, and that's all tracked on the wiki on the forum. In terms of the process for CROP, the first step for you to be eligible to submit any trip requests is the publishing of the Outreach Strategic Plan. The plan can be as specific or as broad as you need it to be. The reason why this became an eligibility requirement was just to try and get community members to partner with the global stakeholder engagement VPs more. Because we found that typically there hasn't been a lot of communication between the VPs and the community. So this program was also in place to try and enhance that. And we've actually seen that it's been working through the CROP program, when communities reached out to the VPs and worked on like a CROP trip request or a CROP event. It has helped to get, especially for the VPs, to understand more what the community needs are, and if there are other events that happen in their regions that might be interesting to communities, that there has been a little bit more collaboration, which is some of the reason for this. And equally, by planning ahead for the fiscal year, you can start including in your plan, for example, what types of events would be useful for the NPOC or for some members to attend, which will just allow more planning for submitting your trip requests. Which brings me to the second point, which is there's a 6-week requirement in terms of the submission of trip requests. So that includes posting it on the wiki, having it approved, obviously, by the MPOC leadership, and having the regional VP concurring. The concurrence is not an approval. The VPs are not there to say, oh, this is good or this is bad. We won't allow you to do so. Absolutely not. The purpose is just to make sure that the outreach that you're conducting in a specific region is in line with ICANN's mission for that region. That's all that the VPs are doing there. And you're not asking for them to approve your request. And then once the travel has taken place, it's the traveler's responsibility to submit a trip assessment. And there's a specific form on the wiki. There's just a few questions, basically, just saying how effective was this against the expected outcomes and goals for specific events, event, and then just tracking anything that of relevance in terms of what did you achieve by having traveled to that meeting, and that should be completed within 30 days of traveling. I think I've already actually covered what it says in this slide. It's just about the purpose of the outreach strategic plan and the process. I'm just looking at it. So, yeah, so for the outreach plan, you will need to obviously draft it, and then obviously Miriam can help you with the posting on the wiki, and it needs to be approved by the NPAC leadership. And there's a tab in the actual in the form to just say yes, it has been approved, and then it has to be submitted to the regional stakeholder engagement VPs. In your case, since here it says VP, but since you're working across all of the regions, this will be shared with all of the VPs, and they generally tend to come back potentially with some questions, and it's just a good dialogue when they do. They won't necessarily have many comments. Again, Miriam will be able to facilitate that, as well as Ozan. I'm not sure if you've already worked with Ozan Shaheen. He's part of our team, and he's actually he's taking over from me in terms of the administrative function for the coordination for CROP for FY18, whereas I'll be responsible for at large in FY18. But I'll still be engaged and. So we all work as a team. I see that Paul's hand is up, so I'll just pause here to see what if you have any questions.
Yeah, Paul's like speaking. Thank you, Bernadette. I remember when we had the FY17 budget, you helped me coordinate the outreach in Senegal. One question I wanted to ask for this FY18, I saw something recently, NCUC were giving out like calls for their members to apply for a grant to attend Abu Dhabi, and I was wondering whether they were able to get funds to do it based on the CROP to be able to get more of new members. Because that's how I discovered, that's how they get a lot of their new members to get involved in ICANN by putting out, they get these grants and then they put it out whereby maybe three or four of their members apply and they get it and they're able to attend an ICANN meeting. So I was just wondering whether, is that where NCUC, is it from the CROP NCU gets the funding? And secondly, if we look at it for travel and we're able to say, for example, for Abu Dhabi, for example, we're able to put something for Abu Dhabi and is able to cover three people from within a particular region to attend who are top members. Can we do that? So that's what I just said I should ask. So in future, you know, we can know that within the CROP, we can be able to get our new members or young members to be able to attend ICANN meetings from CROP, working within budget, more than one or two. So I just want to get some clarity. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question, Pansley. In terms of from a CROP perspective, there's nothing that says that you are not eligible to travel to an ICANN meeting. Obviously, there's the regional constraint. Unless you want to use one of your out-of-region trip allocation to travel to an ICANN meeting, is it the best option to use CROP for just attending an ICANN meeting? That's really up to the NPAC leadership to decide. We're not here to basically when you submit a request, as long as it's within the timeline and it's approved by the NPAC. And it's in line with ICANN's regional strategy. We're not here to obviously to judge the merit of the request itself. So it's really up to the MPOC. In terms of what the NCUC is doing, I'm not entirely familiar with this. So that's possibly something that Miriam has more information about. Miriam, do you have anything further to add about this?
Thank you, Benedetta. This is my understanding for the record. Under your consulate, so what NCC does actually is an internal travel process they have. So from their NCC coffers, their funds, every year, for every meeting, they have about $4,000 that is available to sponsor different people to the ICANN meetings. So that's where the call comes from. It's not crop. It's an internal process they have using their own funds. I hope that brings some clarification.
Thank you, Miriam. And just to add to that, in terms of if you were, if one of the trips that you would find useful in terms of to conduct outreach or for new members to attend an ICANN meeting, just bear in mind the only constraint with CRAP is the actual duration of the funding. So if you submit a request for Abu Dhabi, it wouldn't cover, at least through CRAP, wouldn't cover the entire meeting. It would cover 3 nights and 4 days, but obviously it would cover the airfare. So if somebody were then able to stay on longer, they would have to fund the difference. They wouldn't get a per diem and the hotel covered for the additional days. Did that answer your question, Pamphlet? Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you. It really does. Thank you, Bernadette. I would just like to add, so right now we are in FY8 because we are now in August. So between now and next July, we are eligible to start using from this FY18 budget, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. The only thing that you need to do before you're able to start the using CROP is submit and approve your FY18 Outreach Strategic Plan. Once that's done, you can start submitting trip requests, and you'll have the 5 trip requests that need to be completed.
Yes, that I'm aware. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm aware of that.
Okay. Okay. The next slide just covers the.
My template is moving to. Okay. Consulate, please, we can hear you type. Can you mute your Adobe Connect line? Thank you.
Thank you. So the next slide just covers briefly what the roles and responsibilities are, just so that it's clear in terms of what the staff roles and what the community roles are. So the CROP program administrators, so that's myself for at large and Ozan Sahin for the GNSO, we're here to just provide some guidance and interpretations of the CROP program principles to the community. So for example, what I'm doing right now. So if you ever have any questions and are wondering if a specific trip request that you're thinking about is possible to do via CROP, don't hesitate to reach out to us and we'll be able to provide some guidance. Then we just confirm that the trip requests meet the criteria, and we just mark that on the form. The criteria is basically what we covered before, so the timeline, the timing, and the region and the duration, and then we coordinate with the travel team on your behalf. So you don't need to do that directly. Once the form is completed and everything is signed off, we actually communicate directly with Consistency Travel so that they reach to the traveler and set up the and book their tickets and hotels and accommodation, et cetera. And then the program coordinators, so that's the community, and I think that Miriam is actually one of the NPOCs program coordinators, is just submitting, the responsibility is to submit the outreach strategic plan and ensure that everything is filled in correctly, liaising with the regional VPs to have their concurrence, and then submitting, ensuring that the traveler submits the trip assessment. And then the VP responsibilities is to review each trip request to ensure it's in line with the regional strategies, plans, and goals, and then communicate that they're concurring with the outreach plan and the trip request to the program coordinator, and liaising with CROP staff as necessary, and just collaborating with the community travelers. That's actually the most important piece. So, for example, if you have a traveler who's attending an event and there's something that's already being organized in terms of outreach by ICANN's Global Stakeholder Engagement VPs, then it's just useful to see how you can maximize collaboration and to maximize outreach. And here you can just see the CROP mailing list. So this is just for CROP staff. So it's crop-staff@ICANN.org. That includes everybody for CROP. So I'm on there, and Ozan is on there. So if you ever have any questions regarding the program, you can just write to this email address, and you will obviously. Otherwise, if you have any questions, you can always contact me directly, and Miriam will also be able to answer some of your questions. This is the last slide. So if you have any further questions, please let me know. I hope that covered what you expected from today. Otherwise, I'm more than happy to clarify anything that might have been unclear. Joan, please go ahead if you have
Great, thanks. Great to have an overview. I think gets everyone on the same page. To Raul's question, I was going to ask that, where can we have this? I know we have Miriam as a reference, but a lot of times we just like to look at information. Where are we able to find this information to refer to?
Sorry, is this this actual presentation,
yes,
or
yes,
just information about the CROP program?
Just something similar, like it.
Well, Miriam just
great synopsis, right?
Well, Miriam just shared with you the overall CROP wiki space, and that's a very useful link for you to refer to. You'll find all of the CROP guidelines and principles. But Miriam, if you could just share this presentation with the NPOC, that would be great. I think that would be useful.
Okay. Any questions, guys? No, looks like there is none. Thank you so much, Benedetta. That was really,
my pleasure.
Our strategic plan at the moment. So this is just a good way to start having everyone on the same page, and so that we can go ahead and fill the information in. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. And this is not a one-off. If you ever have any further questions, please just let me know. Or if your membership has questions, I can join another call. Obviously, we're available to do that. So just let me know.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, so next on the charter. And Miriam, you're going to want me to share my screen. So while we're while I'm getting to the sharing of the screen, I did send just a draft one pager for starting the. Oh my gosh. Did I get it? No. For starting the strategic plan. So I'll upload it to Google Doc if everybody wants, and then we can start to fill in the regional information. Okay, so let's put that to rest for now and start with the charter. And can everybody see my screen? Hello? Uh-oh.
Hi, Joni, as we can see it. Sorry.
Okay, great. All right. So last time we left it, we had a number of things to check. We can do the checking later. I'll actually do a document and check if they have been done. So, Raul, off to you. We're going to do the reviews first. We finished up to 5.0, right? 5.1. There we go. So I'm going to go to 5.0.
We were a little further than that. Think we were thinking about 5.22
yes,
last time.
Yes. That's what I have. Great. Good. 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 Hey.
Yeah.
What do you think? Okay, because we were discussing the large and small. So I have it on 5.22.
Yeah. Okay, and I think actually that's something that we decided that we'd have a look at the NCSG charter.
Yes.
And I did that today. Mm-hmm. And indeed, you can have... hang on just a second. It was, sorry. Yeah, so there's basically three criteria in the NCSG charter that one of them needs to be fulfilled. And the first one is an individual who has registered domain names for personal, family, or other non-commercial use. And the second one, an individual internet user who is primarily concerned with the non-commercial public interest aspects of domain name policy and is not represented in ICANN through membership in another supporting organization or GNSO stakeholder group. Or three, an individual who is employed by or a member of a non-member, non-commercial organization, universities, colleges, large NGOs, can join NCSG in his or her individual capacity if their organization has not already joined the NCSG. The executive committee shall, at its discretion, determine limits to the total number of individual members who can join from any single organization, provided the limit shall apply to all organizations of the same size category equally. So anyway, the point of this is that basically there isn't a requirement in the NCSG rules to have a domain name.
So then the question is, do we want to have one for MPOC? Or do we follow the NCSG? That's the question, I guess.
Yeah, I think I would really go with what NCSG has for individual members, and maybe for the organizations, we might want to tune down the numbers down a little, maybe half them. Like in comparison with the NCUC, I think we've halved some of the numbers that define large organization, for example.
And everyone's okay. So the first question is, we follow the NCSG charter with the individual members. Is everybody in agreement with that one? Anyone? Silence is agreement. Okay, so we're agreeing with the NCSG charter then. The next one, the next question is, do we want to lower the numbers for all of the categories? Is that what you're asking? So, for example, large, more than 25 employees, we put it down to 12. Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, I think these are already halved.
Okay,
these numbers. NCUC has 50 employees, 500 individual members, and so on. So, or comprised of 10 or more organizational members. So basically, the half amounts are already there.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're agreeing on the numbers. Then is the agreement? I'm good with it.
Yeah. I think it's okay.
Everyone, any comments? We're in agreement then. All right. Down to 5.2.3 then.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. This is about voting status of are you active or inactive?
To ask a question about this, because I had asked this when I first came on to MPOC. The designated, because I, in all honesty, had not read the charter when I first came on, so this is a really good lesson for me. Thinking of organizations and the designated representative, I know I wanted to know if we had to have on file not just the name of the representative, but I don't know how we would file this, by the way, but something from their country. I guess we asked the question whether or not they're a recognized organization. So is that good enough for us to have, or do we have to have something on file that actually shows that they are a not-for-profit? It's more certification than anything. That's the question. So right now on the membership form.
So, yeah, so this was basically about the participation and voting status. So I think if we want to put it in the organization eligibility, I think we then need to we have it earlier here. I think yeah, there's the 512 lists the ineligible organizations, and 511, the eligible ones. So I think that's already covered there.
Yeah, eligibility, but do we need anything else? I guess it's fine because they have to answer that they are a not-for-profit on the, so we're taking them at their word, I guess. So, okay, it's all right. Let's not get into too complicated because then it's just paperwork, really. Okay. Yeah, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I think for them to become members, it already is said that they have to be, for example, 511E is be a local, regional, or international not-for-profit or non-commercial organization or individuals with demonstrable expertise. Oh, well, that's the new bit we added. But yeah, they do have to be a non-commercial organization.
Yeah, because I was talking to a group the other day, and one woman put up her hand. She says, "Oh, I have a registered business. It's not making any money, so we're a not-for-profit." Well, you know, no, that's a
yeah.
business not making money.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
there's a difference. So I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was funny.
So just a quick one. Brenda has his hand up in the AC room.
Who does?
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. I think you may be on mute.
When does it start and end?
I can't hear you.
Dango, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Now we can.
Yes.
Yeah. 5.2.3, there's a mention of 12-month period. How do we define that? When does it start and end? Are we referring to the previous year?
Hi, Ganga. It's Mariam here. I answered your question on the AC chart.
Mariam, could you repeat it, please?
Yeah, so Ganga was trying to ask 5.2.3 that says that he's asking about the 12-month period. How do we define the 12-month period? He's asking, is it for the previous year? So I said, so my response in the chat is that it's from one election circle
yes,
to the next.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks. That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And there was a question by Remy, I think he still uses this IT Realms DSA, Nick, and there's a question about the with the reduction in committees, do we still have membership coordinator, committee chairman? We won't have the committee, but we'll have membership coordinator instead. Right?
That's right.
So I'll resolve that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that looks fine. Otherwise, we can move on to 5.3.
Great, 5.3, yeah. Great, wowee. Oh, you don't know how happy I am for this to be moving along. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, and then 5.3.1, affiliation in the NPOC shall not expressly or implicitly imply any endorsement or approval of the mission or activities of any affiliate.
Any member.
Yeah, that's right.
An affiliate in the first as well.
Yeah, but I think that affiliation is something else. It doesn't refer to member.
Yeah, being affiliated with us, right.
Yeah. And so I guess that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
5.3.2, the NPOC will make its members list known internally within the ICANN community and to the general public on its web presences. Okay, that's something we actually still have. Do we have the NPOC discuss list somewhere listed on our webpage? I guess Juan is not here.
So what do you want me to write down so that we check? 5.3?
Yeah, we should check that.
Check it on for the website?
Yeah.
Listing on the website, okay. Okay.
John, I have my hand up.
Go ahead.
So 5.3.2 is a requirement that I can buy that every community has to have its membership list published.
Right. Yeah, that's what he's asking me to do, to check with Juan. We have to double check.
Yeah, we need to check that on our website.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I suppose Mariam has the list on the ICANN website already.
No, so the ICANN website, they mean is the wiki, so the ICANN wiki. So if you tell me to put that on, then I'll do that, the MPOC wiki on ICANN space.
Okay, please. Yeah, that would be good, because apparently the charter requires us to do so, so it should have been there already, but yeah. Okay, but I think otherwise that's a fair section. 5.4. Applications for membership. Membership and eligibility renewal. Oh.
Okay, so and a semicolon at eligibility, semicolon. Okay. So we have, this is done through one database now. It used to be that it was two databases. Still have to define it, so.
So Gando has a question here. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, how do we decide the onboarding status, active stroke inactive, for new members? And that's really crucial if we are basing inactive and active members on 522,
mm-hmm.
if I get it correctly. Yeah, because it says 541, sorry. No, that's wrong. 523. If you're going to be being active, if it's defined by having attended no less than four continuous wide meetings within a continuous 12-month period, then it automatically takes away the activeness or inactiveness or inactivity of a new member.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the time that the election comes, I guess it's checked somehow if the person has been active in the action in the last 12 months, and if not, then it's not active.
Well, but
a lot of members.
Yeah, so in the case where it's a new member, so he's just been in MPOC for the last 30 days or something, how does that work?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. I guess there really should be a clause saying that if there isn't a 12-month history, it's moot.
The following year, right?
No. So, for instance, the NCSG, they base their active or inactive status using the check-in process, which is quite simple.
So when the election circle comes, an email is sent to every member to say, check in to make sure that you can vote. So automatically that puts you in the active list.
But we do that as well.
Yeah, okay, so then it means this clause shouldn't be there then. So it means 523 shouldn't be there.
Well, I think it's actually a good idea, especially with NPOC not have had that many active members. I think it's nice to have something that instead of just replying one email, you'd have to be actually participating. And I think 4 meetings in 1 year period isn't that much to ask for.
I think it's not a lot to ask for, but we don't have a track record of offering situations or opportunities that we've encouraged that. So I think if we put it down, we have to do some really duly communications with them and say, okay, here it is. And then we'll have to say, we have to do some sort of monitoring and evaluation. You haven't participated, so what then? We remove you? I think what we should do is develop our own organization internally and start to communicate with our members, and then at the next charter we can put that clause in. That's my opinion.
All right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to agree. I'm just saying that, so far we haven't done a good job in communicating and offering opportunities. And that, to me, is what we're focused on.
Yeah.
We're trying to penalize them for something that we're not giving them the opportunity to do.
Yeah. I guess also we'd really need something to track this attendance. Because I don't know if we have anything apart from the Adobe calls. And I guess there are many types of participation too.
Well, I mean, we're going to be focusing on these comments of the policy committee and stuff like that. We're going to try to change that. But once we change it, then we can then call it, right?
Right. Okay. All right. So we just take the B out.
Yeah. Well, even A, active members.
Oh, yeah, it's really the A.
Yes.
It's really the A, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay, so we should really have a look at the NCUC, what they have on it. Should we make a note? Look at the NCUC.
Yes, we'll do that.
NCSG.
Yes.
Raul, it should be the NCSG charter and not the NCUC?
Yes. NCSG. I put it down. Okay. Good one. Okay. Down back to 5.4.
Okay. So we put the comment there now, yeah?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so I changed some of the wording for the 541. I changed the affiliate committee into membership coordinator.
Yeah.
And affiliates into members. So if you can all read through that 541 and see if it still makes sense.
So right now, I think we just send out an email to the membership, and they respond. Right, Miriam?
For which one, John?
For 5.4.1. They don't really actually fill out a form.
No, they don't fill out a form.
No.
So there's just a list of questions they request answer.
Right. So we don't actually have that anymore. Or I don't know if it ever was. It's just an email that's sent out regarding the upcoming election and that they have to participate by responding, and then it updates the list. And that's
what John, if it's 541, John, this is talking about membership, not
renewal.
Elections.
Right.
Or renewal.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has both.
Yeah, so there is a form. So if it's a membership renewal, well, it's not necessarily renewal. It will be a new member again. It will, yes, there is a form, which is the NCSG form everyone uses. How... Joan?
Yeah.
Right. So this is. So I'm just reading 541. It says, member application eligibility. All prospective and existing members must complete and maintain a membership eligibility and application form, which should be used by the membership coordinator in evaluating new applications as well as renewals of existing members for the purpose of confirming eligibility and voting status.
Mm. Yeah.
No, that's complex, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's not what we do. Let's put that down to work on that one to Raul. That's going to take some time because we've changed the database. We have to change that one. So 5.4.1.
I agree.
Yeah.
Are you making a note there, Joan?
I am.
On the GDocs? Okay, good.
Yes.
I'll start copying the next one.
Mm-hmm. So
that's 542. Effective date. Membership and voting status are effective upon written notification from the membership coordinator posted on the NPOC web presence.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good to me. Okay, then we start running into stuff that we did in Johannesburg again. So 5.5, designated representative.
Well, wouldn't MPOC want to also have an alternate representative?
Yes. Yes, we have to make allocations for that.
I think that will be later on. Yes, it is at 5.6, so let's do it one at a time, yes?
Okay. Okay, I think we can agree with 5.5.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
Yep. And I think we're good for the other ones, or do we want to read them through and go through each one?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me when to move up.
I don't know. I think that since we've actually gone through them and copied them there,
yeah,
that
done.
Sort of means that we've gone through them, yeah. So
right.
We can just move on to 5.7.
5.7?
Yeah.
Yes, perfect. Is there anybody's hands up? Any comments, Miriam?
No.
Okay, great. So I've gotten written down that we've got to review 5.23.
I'm so sorry. Ganga's hand is up.
Okay.
He wants to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead, Ganga. Okay, so I can't hear him.
Neither can I.
Ganga, you may be on mute.
Did they express our putting
Turn off your speakers, Ganga.
Yeah. No singing.
Yeah.
Ganga, we can't hear you. We're just hearing something.
Your speakers.
Can you write your question if you could? And say what section it's regarding so that we know. Okay, so while he's doing that, yes, the 5.6 does address the alternate person.
Yeah.
Good. Is Ganga typing, Miriam?
Yes, Ganga's typing.
Okay, we can move on while we wait then. Okay. When he's done, you can let us know. Okay. Any questions with 5.7? So should we clarify that any additional contacts that's on, we've said that for each organization there's only one vote. Should we reiterate it here?
Isn't it large organizations have more?
Or say something that refers to, I guess they would know that. It's just additional contacts in case the person moves on, right, that we can contact them, because that is actually a problem. If somebody moves on, we only have that point of contact. So I think it addresses it earlier anyway, as long as we're aware of it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I doubt that anyone will, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine with me. So 5.7.1.
Additional contact. Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Do not vote on behalf. Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Because I know how people can interpret things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do too many.
Whichever way they can.
Yep. So, I'm happy that's there. Okay, so, open. Yep.
Put the 5.7.1 and 2 there.
Yeah. So I'm just going to ask before we go to 5.8, any questions regarding anything that we've done so far from anyone? We're all in agreement that we're moving forward and agreed on. Calling once. Right. Okay, 5.8 then.
Yep.
Did one get back on the call, Miriam?
Hold on a second.
Hi, John. Yes, one is on the call.
Okay, great. Because I was going to correct my statements about everybody being in agreement. If he wasn't on, then pending him. So that's great. Hi, Juan. Is formal approval required? And if so, who will give that for the additional contacts? I would think the EC would have that shot. Yeah, there is 5.72 addresses that Ganga, so that one is resolved. So Raul, we resolved Ganga's question as well. Great.
Yay. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, we're just a nice little bunch working together, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Okay.
5.8 and 5.1 I put there.
Mm-hmm. Vote in all general elections, including put on our officers. That's it from here. Should it be in 5.8.2 has a red line there? Is it another member DR maybe as opposed to other? Do we really need this good standing? Yes, we do, for all elections.
Oh, actually, it's plural, so it can't be another. It's other member DRs.
Yeah, you're right. Do we really need this phrase? But
I think the 5.8.2 and 3 look good.
So the question is 5.8 in good standing. Yes, we need the. I think we need to. We define good standing somewhere. Is that. Do we need it? Number one, I think we do, but as long as we define what that means.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write it down to make sure that we have defined it. Want to get mixed up with my political stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had enough of that for one lifetime.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, member in good standing is those who pay. 5.8.2. right.
Yeah, I think the participation looks good as well.
Yep.
5 and 4.
Yep. So then this is prompting me to think that we have to ensure that we send out agendas and stuff like that in advance, not just tell people that there is a meeting, but that send it out as well so they can add items.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's something that I don't think has been done. So...
And there's travel funding, everyone's favorite.
We're good on time, that's great. Right? 11, yes.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Yep.
For the 587C, I don't know. Do we want to keep all the responsibility for that on the chair, or would we want to make the decisions with the EC?
So how it's done now is the EC decides, and the chair makes a decision. That's.
Who is that now?
And that's the same. I think we can check NCSG. I believe that's the same as well.
Right. It's no discredit to you, John. It's just
this is the time to change them.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Don't apologize at all.
I'm just looking through the NCSG. Since there's nothing on travel in the NCSG charter. Nor NCUC. At least not with the World Travel or Fund in it.
I wonder why they would put it in there.
Okay. Nope. Can't see anything.
I'm going to ask Tapani. I wonder why they would have put it. It would have been a reference to something. Well, let's... I'm just going to put it there. Or we can change it. No, we don't have to leave it.
Okay. I'll just leave a comment there.
Okay. So that's 5 points. I had that as well. Okay. All right, we can revisit that next time then.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. Okay, where to now?
Oh, here it says that on the 587.
587.
Yes, 587. It's saying that on D and there number two, it says must play a responsible role. Must provide a reason for the travel and are encouraged to submit a brief report. Now, I think that's something we could maybe even require. I think, for example, the crop is already something that we need to do a report on anyway. So I guess we might as well. It's like one or two pages after all, unless there's like really eventful stuff. But do you guys think we should require that or just leave it as it is?
So take out the word encourage and put the word must. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it said, well, we could change it to must provide a reason for the travel and to submit a brief report after each funded event describing outcomes and how the travel benefited.
Yeah. So take out the and are encourage to. Just put and submit a brief.
John, I think it's important to have required in it because you will not get people, people doing anything except it is explicitly stated that's required for them to get travel funding.
So we want to say required? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'll suggest that.
Oh, actually, come to think of it now, I guess we haven't really, everybody who's been going to ICANN meetings haven't, like, especially to ICANN meetings, we aren't doing a report. So, I don't know.
Well, I asked for a reason for the travel this time because I read it and I thought, oh my gosh, there was never any reason for going. There was only, who wants to go? And then the chair made the decision, but I asked for an actual reason. So,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah, because it helped in making the decision, right? It's a fair decision that way.
Right.
John, my hand is up. Come in.
Yeah, go ahead.
So reading this again, if this is specifically for ExCom members, then maybe no. So I was talking about the general, if it was a general travel request that MPOC was giving to its members to attend any of these meetings, they're important to have it as a requirement for a report to be submitted. But I don't know. If it's an MPOC member, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's encouraged, maybe not required, encouraged. I don't know.
You know, let's put it, because I think that the EC members are going to work anyway, and there's going to be a report on that regardless, right? At least for the next year there will be. But I think we should have actually people, you know, you can't just put your name in and not give us some feedback and some report of what you did and why it was important and what they've learned. I think if we're going to be serious, we have to start being serious. So... So I would take out the encourage and are required to submit.
So that means we would be, each of the people who are now going to Abu Dhabi, we would each do an individual report on our participation.
I think this is, hold on, is it for the EC or for, well, that's what it reads, right?
I think it's really members in general. So, I mean, that includes us.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys feel about
that? It's not possible.
Sorry, what was that?
I think...
Hello, could I have a floor, please? Hello, Olivia wanted to talk, please.
Oh, go ahead, Olivia. I didn't know you had your hand up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have a comment on this point. Yes, 5.2. Isn't it too heavy for each traveler to write his own report? I think it is will be a common job. The chair have to do the report during the meetings, and those who have filed with him will approve, and you will publish it on the list for the other EC members. This is my point of view. Please, thank you.
Yeah, I think it would be more purposeful because we, at least so far, the NPOC people have worked quite closely together. Mm-hmm. So I think we would have four quite identical reports in the end. So instead of that, we could require the travelers to make a report together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. This is my point of view. You have to change this article, mm-hmm. adapt it to the reality. We never do it before, so you have to adapt it now.
I think that that's good for the EC that we do that, and I think it's a great point. Thank you, Olivia. That's a really great point. Because then you have the same thing is going to be regurgitated for different people. But if it's someone that we've, from the general membership, for example, they should be able to give us a report because they may go to different sessions than the EC does. Right?
Yep.
So say, for example, there is a focus on a particular policy that we've identified an expert that would go. Let's just say it's an arbitrary condition term. That person would be giving us specifics on that particular information, right? So, but I like Olivier's suggestion, to be honest.
Oh, but... another solution is that the chair can appoint somebody to be a reporter for the meeting,
like
and the meeting the final report will be validated by all the members of the EC.
Yes, I like that even better.
Yeah, I guess the problem really is that after the meeting, everyone is so beat and tired of ICANN for a little bit that nobody really wants to get to do these reports, I think. So there has to be some sort of contribution from everyone to the report, not just validating if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, because
during the meetings, please, during the meetings, we have the NPOC days. I think the report will be mainly around this topic, the NPOC days, the constituency days. And the other remarks, or I don't know, something like that. So if the chair has appointed somebody during the travel to be the rapporteur, So the reporter will submit the report and we'll validate. If anybody will have to write himself his own report, I don't know when we will be, we'll have time to validate all of that.
John, I have my hand up.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I understand Raul's point that it's, you know, if it's different reports, then it might be the same thing. But also, it's important to remember that different MPOC members are in different working groups and different other groups within ICANN. You know, so you're not just reporting on MPOC's meeting, but also reporting on what has gone on in other groups that might affect MPOC today or in the future. So that's where, you know, those are the information that are brought together, is to say, okay, this is what we've taken out from ICANN 50, whatever it is, or 60, whatever. You know, how does this affect MPOC, or how do I see this as an EC member, or are there areas we need to begin to focus on? I think those are the things, the kind of things the reports you'll be looking at, and not necessarily I went to XYZ meetings. No, it's the output from it.
Yeah, I agree, especially if we've identified priority areas and people are going to something other than when we need to actually get the policies for those priority areas that we have to address. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't look at anything new, but, I mean, we've identified the priority areas and you know, we need to find out what it is that we need to do. So, yes. So, guys, so that's the I think it's a good thing for people to do individual reports for going, because that's what ICANN is paying for, is here's the reason for going, and then here's what I did when I was there. I think that's...
Yeah, I guess somebody can always make a summarum of all the reports into one if necessary. But yeah, the thing is, like, for example, now in Abu Dhabi, that's going to be 8 days. So it's going to be a lot more than just constituency day. And we're all going to fly about going to all different kinds of meetings, meeting different people, even after the normal meeting hours. So I think we'll have quite a lot to report back on from those 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be good to sort of demand for it a little bit at least. It's fair enough. It doesn't set any criteria how long or what kind the report needs to be, but I mean,
it says a brief, and something, a brief, right? Is about 1 to 2 pages maximum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so not I think that the word encourage means it's a choice.
Yeah.
So I think
exactly.
We can check that out. And it's a good way to communicate with our members as well. Here's what we found. Here are the policies, right? And get them to comment.
That's right.
As well. So it's a good...
Yeah, we start to get more content on our website.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
And getting people to comment on it, because we really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
John, is it also possible to have a date limit? So a 30-day, for instance?
30 days?
Yeah. 7 days is obviously too short. 30 days after a meeting.
Yeah. Yes, 30 days, because, I don't know, 30 days seems like a long time to me for a policy meeting, but anyway.
After an ICANN meeting, it's honestly, it's not.
Yes, I usually sleep for 2 days after that, so.
Shall we change it to 40 days? Just because...
No!
40 is too long.
Yes. Yeah, 40 days, I think, really stretches it. OK. lucky. I'll just get in the habit of writing it every day, so I have a little something. Okay.
Yeah, that's the best, really.
Yeah. All right. Anybody's hands up? No? All right. So we have, hold on. Remy had a question. Why do we have this here instead of 5 points? This meaning... one of the suggestions, Raul, everybody, regarding the decision making is that the decision should be with the EC, and then the chair. I'm going to say chair as opposed to chairman. Have a deciding vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Everybody's in agreement with that? I am. I think it sounds good.
I hear no objections.
We're good? Okay. Changing it, so I'm going to...
I'm not changing it right now, but I'll leave those comments there, and we can come and do the exact wording later.
Okay, great. All right, where to now then?
Well, I think that's the 587.
Now, just a quick thing. It is now 12:32, according to my clock. So
yeah.
How are we for time?
Mm-hmm. Half 30.
If I did get...
Is Miriam?
Hi, can we
have
good
for time?
Yes, we have about 28 minutes.
Eight?
No, 28
minutes.
28. So we go to 1 o'clock. It's 2 hours. I thought it was 1.5. Okay, we're good. Sorry. All right. Tell me where to go in the document.
In fact... I don't know if I don't think there's anyone else coming, but if we could cut this a little short today, that would be really good, because I have something I need to run to, like 5 minutes before the end anyway.
Okay. It's fine with me. I thought it was an hour and a half that we had, so that's what I schedule my time for.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with cutting it short? Understanding that next week we do not have a meeting because Miriam decided that she needs a holiday. I don't know about that.
I don't blame her.
I don't know about these holidays.
No objection.
So the next one would be the week after.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we can... we can do, in the meanwhile, instead of having the call next week, we could maybe have a look at the comments that are there in the document at the moment and work on them, maybe come up with our own versions of the wordings. That would be very helpful for the next meeting, because that takes the most time.
Yeah, and then check NCSG to cross-reference.
Yeah, that really takes time, so that'd be really nice if everybody could do that a little and just see which comments haven't been touched and just work on them.
Yeah. All right, is everybody okay with ending the call now? Any objections to ending the call now?
No, no problem.
No objections. Then we'll end at 5.8.7 then. We'll come back to that next time. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, Miriam.
Okay, thank you. No objection.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a nice week.
Great job.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Kel, you missed.